Our guest speaker this morning is no stranger to this house. I describe him, if there are two words that describe this statesman of faith, it is sacrifice and longevity. You know a man is successful when he's been around for a long time. And he's been in the ministry for a long time. And in my brief time of knowing him, I've known him now for probably about 7 to 8 years. Something like that. But I've seen him make sacrifice after sacrifice for the kingdom. I've seen him do things that normal men of the pastorate would not do. He was a pastor and made a decision that I know came from his spirit to walk away from the pastorate. And now he serves as an elder here at Church on the North Coast, primarily in the Beachwood area. But he operates in the office of a pastor. And so this morning, Church on the North Coast, can you stand to your feet with me and welcome Elder Tossy Wiley as he comes to share the word this morning.
Good morning. Amen. It's good to be amongst our brothers and sisters. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ and from your Beachwood family. God is doing a major work in Beachwood with CNC East. And God has sent some very hungry people to CNC East in Beachwood. The timing of Pastor Kayaton making that decision and coming to Beachwood was so greatly ordained of God. Because the very first day that we started in Beachwood, I believe September 23rd of 07, one church closed that day. And there were many families from that church at the Beachwood location. I remember Pastor Kayaton saying to me that there were several people who came up to him, stuck their finger in his chest, and said to him, "You are my last hope." There were people who were ready to give up on God because they had not found the genuine, the real, authentic Jesus. But through Pastor Kayaton and Pastor Tina, that spirit revived in many people on the east side of Cleveland. And there are some hungry men and women and boys and girls who are being fed the pure word of God, and life is coming into their hearts and their lives and their homes. So we're just excited about that, to be connected and to be a part of this awesome move of God. And I'm awed at Pastor Kayaton in making that tremendous decision to step out and obey God and to do that. Many are being blessed as a result of that decision. And you all have many brothers and sisters on the east side who love you, and I'm just greeting you on their behalf this morning. See, we have the same spiritual heavenly father, but we also have the same earthly parents as well, in Pastor Kayaton and Pastor Tina. So we are grateful for that. Would you get your Bibles this morning, and if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. We're going to read from the Amplified version of the Bible this morning. And Brother Daniel has set us up well today for the Word of God. The Word of God reads, "For when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, saying, 'Blessing, I certainly will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you.' And so it was that he, Abraham, having waited long and endured patiently, realized and obtained in the birth of Isaac as a pledge of what was to come, what God had promised him. Men indeed swear by a greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes, the oath taken for confirmation is final, ending strife. Accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan intervened, mediated with an oath. That was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to prove false or deceive us, we who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Now, we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever stepped out upon it. A hope that reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil, where Jesus has entered in for us in advance, a forerunner, having become a high priest forever after the order and with the rank of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your awesome presence in this house. We thank you, Lord, that you are here, Lord God. And because the Spirit of God abides in this place, we draw upon you, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher. You are the one who reveals truth to us. So today I ask you, Holy Spirit, to be mighty in our midst and anoint our ears to hear your voice and reveal the truth of the Word of God to us, that we may be strengthened, we may be edified and built up to do the work of the kingdom of God in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of what I am going to share is An Anchor of the Soul. The Bible teaches us that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and emotions. And the soul gets input from the world around us. And if we are not careful, the input that comes into our soul from the world around us can cause us to go with the flow of the world system. And if our soul is not anchored, not connected to something that is changeless and that is unmovable, we can be all over the place, especially in this particular time in the world. There are so many issues facing the world, so many ups and downs. We cannot afford to go with what we think. We cannot afford to go with how we feel or our emotions, because we will find ourselves in left field one moment, in right field the next. We're going with the flow of the world. So our soul must be anchored. And this is what the Lord is giving me as we enter this new year of 2009. That we must, as a people of God, have our souls properly anchored to that which is changeless. Because there is so much stuff happening around us. We cannot afford to receive the input from the world into our soul and expect not to go the way of the world. And as people of God, if our soul receives input from the world, and that's what we believe and act upon, then we're going to receive the same fate and consequences as those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So our soul must be anchored to that which does not change. The Bible says in Isaiah 48 that the grass withers, the flowers fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. forever. Psalmist says in Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word is settled. The word is not going to change. It's not going to shift on us. Jesus said in Matthew 16, after Peter made this great confession of faith as to who Jesus was, Jesus said, upon this rock, the revealed word of God, upon this rock, this changeless rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The only thing that will not change is the word of God. And with what's coming down the pike in this nation, in this time, and even going into 2009, we have to be anchored properly to the word of God. Now, Webster defines an anchor as a metal device attached to a ship by a cable that's cast overboard and holds the ship in a particular place by means of flutes or prongs that is attached to something immovable. Now, today, driving here, we could have used an anchor, couldn't we? That wind had the cars all over the place. But when the wind blows, when the storm comes, if we're anchored, you're not going to move too far. You may shift a little bit, but you're not going far because there is an anchor, and our souls must have that anchor, and it must be in the Word of God. See, if our souls are not anchored, we will believe CNN and doubt the Word of God. We will end up believing what we see and hear on the news and doubt the Word of God. Now, our soul receives input from the world, and our soul processes that. Our soul receives input from the world, it receives input from God, and our soul processes that input. You see, we cannot buy into the world's recession. Our God's economy is not in recession. God still says that he will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I saw nothing in there. There was no parenthetical phrase in there about a recession hindering God supplying our need. So he said he would do it. He even said this in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we have to understand that God's economy is flourishing and there is no recession in it. See, the world may tell you that a physical condition you have is incurable. And if you buy that input from the world, you say, oh, well, I guess that's what the doctor said. There is no hope. But the word of God still says that by his stripes you were healed. Jesus himself bore stripes for our healing, and by those stripes we are healed. So we have to make a decision what we're going to believe. See, the world may tell us that the devil has our children and they will amount to nothing. They will never be saved. They will never grow up to love God. But you see, the Bible says this in Isaiah 54:13. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, we have to decide what we're going to believe. It boils down to whose report are we going to believe. That's what it boils down to. Now, look at that. Now, we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in the body. We're going to break this down so we get it, because this is what I heard the Lord saying to me very clearly as we go into this new year, that we must understand how we were designed, understand how he made us so that we can be properly anchored to that which does not change can probably be anchored in the Lord and in the Word of God. The next one. Now, the Spirit. We are a spirit, and it's with our spirit that we are aware of God. Our spirit man communicates with God. Now, if a person and anyone in here who is not born again, you are spiritually dead. You don't have an awareness of God. We're going to give you a chance to address that issue before you leave. But I want us to understand how God made us, how we were designed by Almighty God. When your spirit does come alive, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God puts His Spirit in our spirit, and our spirit becomes alive. So, we are a spirit, and it's with our spirit that we have an awareness of spiritual things. God is a spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, next, we live in a body. Now, with the body, we are aware of the world. We are aware of the world as a result of our five senses: sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing. We live in this body. Now, we are getting input from the spirit realm where God resides and from the world. Now, let's look at the soul. The soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. We cannot trust our mind, our will, and our emotions. We were not designed to live by them, because the mind now is getting input from the body, which is in the world. That's why we can't go by what we feel. We can't go by what we think, or even what we see. So we're getting input through our body from the world around us. Now we're also getting input from the spirit realm, where we have an awareness of God. And it is the soul that determines what we believe and how we act. So how we process this with the soul will determine how we're going to live. Now, you see, the world is around us, not in us. We are surrounded by the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And we get input from the world. Now, notice on the other side, God is in us. God resides in us. The Word of God abides in us. So we're getting input from the world and input from the world. And the soul determines what we believe and how we behave and how we react and how we respond. Things in the world are relative. Things of the spirit are absolute. We are not accustomed to absolute things. We are accustomed to things being relative. Well, it may work today, but under this set of circumstances, it may not work. That's what you get from the world. But in the spirit realm, where God has input into our lives, there are absolutes. And we must learn to stand on the absolutes of God's word. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning in talking about getting our soul properly anchored in the things of God. Now, let's go back and we're going to look at Hebrews again. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to dissect this. And we want to get this and understand this so we can walk in it. And he said at verse 13 of Hebrews 6 again, "For when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear." Now get a picture of this. Almighty God is swearing and making oath by himself. There is no one greater that he can swear by, so he swears by himself. Look at the absolute nature of that. When God said, "I swear by myself," then God is saying to himself that if I don't honor what I say, then I'm not God. The authority that's here, the absolute nature of what is entailed in what God says when he made this promise to Abraham. And he said to Abraham that, "I am going to bless you and I am going to multiply you." Now, when Abraham received this promise from God, he was so absolutely certain of what God said was true. See, they were aware of covenants and oaths. We're not aware of that today. That don't mean anything to us pretty much today. You have one person come in and take an oath, "I solemnly swear if I'm going to tell the truth and so help me God." They say what they're going to say. You bring up another person, "You solemnly swear if I'm going to tell the truth so help you God." "I do." And they tell the complete opposite. Now that's our meaning of oath today. It means nothing. But Abraham understood this covenant and this oath. When God made a promise, he understood that this was the absolute truth. So it allowed Abraham, as it says in verse 15, Abraham, having waited long and endured patiently. See, when we know that we know, when we know that what God has said in his word is absolutely true, we can wait long and we can endure patiently. Because there's nothing in this earth or under the earth that can keep the promise and word of God from coming to pass if we stand on it. So Abraham understood this. So he received the word of God, and he stood on the word of God in faith. The Bible says he just believed God. He believed God, and the Bible says that it was accounted to him as righteousness. God wrote it down in the book and said, "Abraham, you are in right standing with me because you just believed my word." See, we, in this year coming, must get to this place where we flat out believe God. Just because God said it, we just believe God. And as long as we stand on the word of God in faith, nothing can stop the word of God from coming to pass in our lives. Doesn't matter what CNN says. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. The only thing that matters is what God says. And we must know the word of God and stand on it when everything else around us is shifting and moving and changing. We can be at peace because we are standing firm on the solid foundation, the word of God. See, God is trying to shift his people from the ways of the world to the ways of the kingdom of God. See, we have a mandate. Pastor Troy mentioned this as he was sharing this morning. We are to do in earth exactly what Jesus did. We can't do that if we are leaning and trusting CNN and not God. God has equipped us with everything that we need in this earth to do exactly what Jesus did. And he's trying to move us to that place where our understanding is enlightened so we know who we are and we know the hope of our calling. That is to walk this earth just as Jesus walked the earth. We have the same anointing that Jesus had. We have the same Holy Spirit, God abiding in us that abided in him. So we are equipped to do exactly what Jesus did. So the Bible says this, that men indeed swear by a greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes, the oath taken for confirmation is final, ending strife. So when, even in the natural realm, what they're saying, when men swear by a greater one, all disputing is over. It's settled. It's finished. The oath has been taken for confirmation, settles every dispute. Now, if that's so with man, how much more so is that true with God? When God takes an oath, and what is an oath? It's a solemn calling upon God to witness to the truth of what one says. So when God took an oath and swore by God that what he says is true, that's true. You can't get nothing no truer than that. When God says, I swear by myself that what I say is true, it's true. So we must begin understanding the power and the nature and truth of the Word of God so that we will stand on it. Now, look at verse 17. Accordingly, now they talked about how men do this thing in making this oath, and it settles all disputes. It's over once the oath is taken. So it says now, accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened, mediated with an oath. So God now is doing this thing to show those who are to inherit the promise the unchangeableness of his oath and his promise. Who are the heirs of this promise? The Bible says in Galatians 3:29 that if ye be Christ, then you are heirs of Abraham, and that you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are an heir to the same promise. When God said to Abraham, in blessing, I'm going to bless you, that was me. When he said to Abraham, in multiplying, I'm going to multiply you, that was us too. See, we were in there. We are heirs of that promise that God made to Abraham. Now, verse 18. The reason God did this in giving his promise and his oath was this. That was so that by two unchangeable things. What does unchangeable mean? You know, that can be hard for us to get a hold of because we're not used to many things that don't change. You know, things change. In this last election, all we heard about was change. So we got conditioned to change, expecting change. But there are some things that are unchangeable. And what is unchangeable is what our soul must be anchored to in a time of change. So, says this. This was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us. King James says, for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge might have indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Keep in mind, two unchangeable things. God's promise and his hope, and his oath, rather. Because God has promised some things to us that we've let slip. We've let it go because of input from the world. You see, when God promises us something and it doesn't happen yesterday and we get a little opposition or a storm, a little wind, we ready to let go of it. Well, I guess God just changed his mind. No, the word of God is settled forever. So as I'm sharing, you're thinking about some things that God has promised you and you've let go of it. Before you leave here today, I want you to dust that thing off the shelf again and pick it up again. Because what God promised was unchangeable. His promises are unchangeable. And it still is available to you. Verse 19 says, now we have this hope as a sure foundation, as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Now, let's look at this hope because this is something that we need to just grasp hold of. The hope that is discussed here in Hebrews, the hope is the promise. The hope is the promise. So God promised Abraham something. And the hope was in the promise that does not change. We're gonna catch this one because we hope in the promise of God. The promise of God is changeless. So our hope is in that which does not change. Our hope is in the promise of God. The promise of God does not change. It's the word of God. God swore by himself that is true. You got to catch this one, otherwise this won't make any sense to you. The promise of God is changeless. It does not shift, it doesn't move. So our hope is in the promise. And that hope becomes an anchor of the soul. Why? Because it's connected to that which does not change. God has said some things. I mean, as the Lord was giving me this, I'm going to tell you something. 09 is going to be an awesome year for me. Because I have just caught an understanding and a hold of this truth. If we know the promises that God has given us and understand that the promise does not change, then that secures my soul. That anchors my soul. I am hoping in the promise of God that cannot change. And my soul gets anchored because I have a living hope in the Word of God that is changeless. So when I get there, it does not matter what CNN says. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. See, when you get your soul anchored in that which does not change, and that is the promise of God, by two immutable things that does not change, his promise and his oath doesn't change. The Bible says God and his word are one. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does not change. See, in Hebrews 11:1, talks about faith. And it says this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Now, you're getting this. See, we are hoping for that that does not change. Now, our faith is the title deed of what we hope for that does not change. So my faith is attaching to that which cannot change. So faith now is the confirmation or the title deed to what I hope for. How do you know you own your house? You got title deed for it. How do you know healing belongs to you? You got title deed for it. You're hoping for it. And the hope is in the promise of God that does not change. The promise doesn't change. It is changeless. It is immovable. So faith is the assurance, the confirmation, it's the title deed of things you hope for. You are hoping for healing. What is that hope based on? Promise. Promise doesn't change. Changeless. Healing has to come. His oath and his promise doesn't change. And it says, now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Now, that relates to the world, what you see, them five senses. get us in trouble. And the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The world ain't going to give you no help on this one. Your five senses ain't not going to help us on this one. No. We got something better than that. We got something that defies what the five senses may tell us or show us or speak to us. We got a hope. When I say hope, you know, we probably misunderstood this word hope. We probably use hope so much like, oh, I just hope the sun come out today. Oh, I sure hope, you know, that my kids are nice today. We use hope in a very casual way, but that's not the kind of hope God's talking about in his word here. No, he's talking about a hope that is based on his promise that does not change. That's the hope we're talking about. That's based on a promise of God that does not change. And the five senses has nothing to do with that. Nothing at all. Now let's look at, as we try to wrap this up, let's look at how Abraham handled this thing. Because I think we can learn something from Abraham. And let's go to Romans 4. And we'll see what we can learn from Abraham in how he dealt with this thing, because the Bible says he believed God. He just believed God, and we have to believe God if we want to receive the benefits of the promise God made to Abraham. In verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Keep in mind, when God made Abraham the father of many nations, how many children did he have? None. But God made him the father of many nations. And it says, he was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. See, you're not getting no help from the world on that. The world only tells you what exists. The world can show you stuff that already has appeared. But God takes non-existent things, things that has not appeared, and he'll show them to us by faith and say, now hold on to that and you can have it. You see, the world will give us a truth. You know, it may be a truth today that you have an incurable disease. That may be a truth, but it's not the truth. You see, we cannot go with a truth. Now, the truth is you were healed by the stripes Jesus bore. Now, we have to get our soul anchored on the truth and not a truth. But, verse 18, for Abraham, now see if we identify with any of this. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. In other words, everything in the world said to Abraham, no way. It was a good idea, but it can't happen. That's what the world has said to you, and it said to me. The world has lied to us. Now, if we don't pull away from this world around us and this input that comes through our body, through our five senses, and get connected to the Word of God, get our soul. You see, our soul is where this decision process takes place. Your soul is what determines whether you're going to go the way of the world or the way of Almighty God. And if our soul is not connected and anchored in the Lord, in the Word of God, it will go the way of the world. Now, you'll go to heaven when you die, but it's going to be hell down here. So we have to get hold of our soul. If you find yourself just up and down, oh, they said the stock market dropped 100 points. Oh, Dow Jones is down. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. What am I going to do? Oh, tomorrow it's up 300 points. Oh, praise the Lord. That is not the way for Christians to live. The doctor said, I got it. Whatever it is, I got it. Oh, Lord, what? Call up prayer partners, everybody. That's not how he wants us to live. We just up and down. Then the doctor called back and said, oh, I'm sorry. We got your x-rays mixed up with somebody else. I'm sorry. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. Just up and down. For Abraham, the Bible says, human reason for hope being gone, he hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. His hope was in what? The promise. The promise is changeless. I don't know if anybody's getting this but me. I don't know. But I'm getting excited about it because I'm going to change in 09. If y'all don't believe, watch my smoke. I'll come back over again. Show you my smoke. But no, we're going to get this. This is what God is saying for 09. We must get our soul anchored in the Word of God. We can't keep going by the influences of the world. We can't. See, the world, all creation is yet groaning and moaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. We got a responsibility to all creation. They are waiting to see somebody stand up in this earth and say, ah, Jesus is here. And that's you and that's me. We got to stand up in this earth and walk this earth in the same authority that Jesus walked. All creation is groaning, moaning, waiting for that, to see the true sons and daughters of God manifested in this earth. You see, God is our Heavenly Father. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. Now, it would look quite odd, and it has been looking odd thus far, for an almighty God to have powerless children. Something is wrong with that picture. We tell the world, come on to Jesus and be just like us. They say, no thanks. But when we start walking in the authority, power of God, when we start walking down the street and our shadows start healing folks, when we start walking down the hall in our jobs and just say, good morning, brother, just lay hands, just touch somebody, and they get healed and delivered. When we start, even in the marketplace arena, praying for folks and blinded eyes get open, the lame begin walking, somebody is going to take note that we have been with Jesus. Somebody's going to take note that, ooh, that looked like a daughter of Jesus, daughter of Almighty God. That looks like the manifestation of a son and a daughter of God. That's what creation is waiting for. They're being yet held in bondage. Troy talked about that earlier. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, he's upon him, he's upon us now. So we have to do this thing. Abraham went on, verse 19. Human reason for hope gone. See, you may be facing a situation right now where you have absolutely no human reason for hope. Everything looks bad. You see no way out whatsoever. That's where Abraham was. All reason, human reason for hope, gone. But he hoped in faith that the promise that was changeless, that was immovable, will come to pass. And he went on to say here, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. The report of the world didn't influence him. Why? His soul was anchored in the word of God, in the promise of God that he knew could not change. So it didn't matter. Didn't matter that CNN was broadcasting. Abraham has gotten a word that he is going to be the father of many nations. Now, I dare remind you about Abraham. And we have this person over here with Sally Joe with On Live Scene. Well, I am here with Mr. Abraham this morning, and this man is 100 years old. And his wife is about 75. Her womb is dead. She has been barren her whole life. There you have it. Okay, thank you, Mary Jo. That's the report of Abraham. Now, we come over here. Abraham, I hear that you've gotten a word that you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, sir, we know that you're a rational man. You're logical. Now, Mr. Abraham, now, we know that, by the way, sir, how old are you?
I am 100 years old.
And what about your wife?
She is about 75.
And now, I understand you're going to be a father of many nations. How many children do you already have, sir?
We have none.
And why is that, Mr. Abraham?
Because my wife is barren and her womb is dead.
So, now, Mr. Abraham, for all of Israel and the world, Jordan, everybody to hear, how do you propose that you're going to have children and be the father of many nations?
Well, I got a word from God. I have a promise from God. I don't know how God's going to do it, but God promised me, and I have hope in that promise. My hope is in that which cannot change.
You see, Mr. Reporter, you don't know my God. That's your problem. You've been in this reporting business too long. I got a word from God, and I believe God, that I will be the father of many nations. It doesn't matter about my age or my body. It doesn't matter about my wife or her body. All that matters is I got a word from God, and I'm going to hold on to that word. I am not going to let that word go. I'm going to endure. I'm going to be patient because I know the promise of God is sure. It is unmovable. It shall come to pass. The Bible says at verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver,
doubtingly questioning concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. He was already playing with that little boy. He probably all went out and bought some toys. He know the boy is on the way. He said, fully satisfied, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. His hope was in the promise of God that does not change. Our hope has to be in the promise of God that does not change, that cannot change. If we will dare in this coming year to get our soul, let's disconnect from the world. Understand we're in the world, we're not of it. That input that comes through our five senses, say, okay, it's there, but that's a lie to me. Anything that is in conflict with what God says in his word, his promises to us, anything else is a lie. And we get our soul anchored in the promise of God. And we stand on the promise of God. And if we stand on it, as the Bible said this, and we close with this, back in Hebrews 6, it said this, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot, listen, cannot slip. And it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. That's Hebrews 6:19. So if you, in this new year, would dare to step out upon it, step out upon it. It cannot break down. Cannot give way. It will sustain you. And if you keep standing, and after having done all, stand, we are going to receive what the word of God promised us. And this world would take note that our God lives and our God reigns. So where we are in this new year, let's prepare our hearts to make sure that our soul, that seat of decision making, where our beliefs come from, is anchored in the Lord. And our behavior, as well as our beliefs, will be consistent with the word of God. Now, remember we said that we are spirit. We are spirit, and it's our spirit we communicate with God. If you're not born again, your spirit is dead. You're spiritually dead, and you're separated from God. You are, as the Bible says, lost and without hope in the world. If your spirit is not alive, you have no way and no place to anchor your soul. So if you're not born again and you found yourself all over the place, just being tossed about by wind and storms of life, and you have no rest or peace for your soul, your soul needs to be anchored. But that anchor only comes first by being born again so you can have communication with God. And the word of God can then come into your born again spirit and attach itself to your spirit that is born again. The word is a living thing. When the living word of God attaches itself to a spirit that's alive, then that word of God becomes rhema to you. And the promise of God become real to you. then you have something to attach and to anchor your soul. You need it in these days. Could I have the altar workers come? If that's you, let's come on and stand to our feet. If that's you, you need to come. You need to come and get anchored today. Get hooked up to Jesus. You need that. Now that's the first call for those who are not born again. If that's you, now you may have known the Lord and know the Lord, but your anchor is not holding well. You've been influenced too much by the world. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, make sure that that anchor is tight today. Don't go into 09 with that anchor being wobbly and loose and not connected well. If that's you, you need to come too. You need to come too. We want to go into 09 hooked up so that we can show forth the fullness and truth of the promise of God in our lives. So if that's you, as Daniel and the praise team sing, I want you to come. I want you to come. And as they sing, come, we'll finish here.
Oh, the storm keeps on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured. As I look mine eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, just in case the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul, oh Lord, has been anchored in the Lord.
Now some of you may have gotten reports from the doctor, and you're struggling with that. And your faith is reaching out to that living hope, and you want someone to touch and agree with you today that the word of God is yet true, that Jesus did bear stripes for your healing, and by his stripes you are the healed. If that's you and you want someone to agree with you in prayer, come on. Someone will touch and agree with you for the word of God to be manifested in your life, in your body, that healing may come to you as you are believing God and attaching your faith to that living hope.
That blessed place he has prepared. Oh Lord, but if the storms don't cease, y'all, oh Lord, and the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I realize that sometimes in this old life we're gonna be tossed by the waves of the currents that seem so fierce. Oh, yes, it do. But in the Word of God, I have an anchor. Oh, yes, I do, Lord. And it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storms don't cease, oh, hallelujah. And just in case the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul, oh, my soul, Lord, has been anchored in the Lord. My soul's been anchored.
Father God, we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for speaking to our hearts, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that we shall be hearers, not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word, Lord God. So we bless you and we honor you, Lord God. And we praise you and we enter this year with praise and great expectation in our hearts. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Live right, love everybody, don't pick and choose, pray hard. Next week, we'll be right back here. God bless you.